It says in Philippians chapter 4 to rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. The resurrection, the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead gives us a reason to always be joyful, even in the worst of times. That truth causes joy. Let's be those joyful people today and every day. As we talk for a few minutes about the resurrection today, it's possible that you haven't made a decision about what you believe about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Or it may be that you know someone who would like to know more about the resurrection and the facts surrounding it. Out in the foyer at the kiosk, there's a limited supply of these books. It's called The Jesus Files, and it just gives a lot of historical information, biblical information that helps answer questions about whether or not we can intellectually be satisfied about the reality of the resurrection. Also wanted to let you know that at that kiosk, there will be a form in which you can sign up for the Fiesta, the 5K fun run, mile run, kids dash. You can also sign up online at our website. And one more thing. Love the lilies. Lilies remind me of trumpets. And I think it's so significant that we associate them with the resurrection of Jesus, because like there's just screaming out, trumpeting out, he's alive, he's alive. So if you know someone who is going through a difficult time, maybe they're lonely, or someone who just would have their day brightened by being given a lily, please feel free to come up after worship and take one of these lilies or one from back there and give it to someone as a gift. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for who you are and for what you have done. Thank you for this moment that we have. Would you make this to be your moment? Would you help our hearts to be open to you, our minds open to you? Lord, we pray that you would give us ears to hear and hearts to believe. We pray in your name. Amen. So, how real is this resurrection? How real is it? Is it here? Have you come to believe it here? Have you received it here? Have you embraced it in how you face life? It is such a great day. This day we celebrate the resurrection. And truly, every day we can celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ is alive. I love what Dave prayed in that there's a way, though, in which we need that resurrection to be again, the reality of it again in our hearts day by day. I think a challenge that we have when it comes to the resurrection of Jesus Christ is to not make it to be like a fairy tale. Not considering it in terms of, oh, that's just a fairy tale, but really how we come to handle it, how we come to believe in it. You know, the word in the Bible book of John that is believe is, it means so much more than intellectual assent. It means to be living in the reality of it. We're going to read from that book, John chapter 20, verses 1 through 8. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came alongside him, or behind him, and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, went inside. He saw and believed. There are four different gospel accounts that give us information about what happened here. In Luke 24, verse 11, we get a little more information about what happened when those women first went and told some of the other disciples what they had seen. It says, "But they," that would be the other disciples, "did not believe the women, because their words seemed like nonsense." That's fair, right? Someone was dead and now they're alive? Are you crazy? That's nonsense. How could you possibly think that is true? And it might be that some of us don't say it so emphatically. Some of us might not even say it out loud, but inside we're wondering, is this really true? Or is this kind of like one of those fairy tales? It's a story. And that story has kind of its own little compartment in our lives. It doesn't come into today. It doesn't come into my reality. We can have kind of a fairy tale gap. The gap between the living reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and its impact on us and how we believe it, how we live in it, and the fairy tale, put it in a compartment. Interesting historical fact, but I'm not living in that truth. So is it time to go back like Peter did, like the disciple Jesus loved, also known as John, did, and look at it and think, is this real or not? Before he was reported to be alive, Jesus was dead. Some say that Jesus feigned his death. There's that theory out there. And he had maybe drunk some concoction that made him seem like he was dead, but it was a fake. And then when he went into the tomb, he came back to life. And then he faked everybody out. Somehow he got out of those grave clothes like you couldn't possibly get out on your own. But he got out of them and didn't disturb them at all. It was like he just came out and they just folded in where he was. But somehow that happened. And then he, instead of looking like he was barely alive, he looked vibrant and full of life when he came out of the tomb, however he got out of the tomb. Well, here's the reality. Jesus received such a beating, not going into the gory details, but many people died going through what he went through before he got to the cross. On the cross, it says that a centurion stabbed his heart and out came blood and water. Stabbed him in the side, but medical doctors would say that it was probably the heart, the way the blood and the water flowed out. He was dead. So if he was dead, was his body stolen? Maybe the disciples stole his body. That was one of the things that the Jewish religious leaders were afraid of, that they would steal. So here's what happened. The Jewish religious leaders talked the Roman leaders into appointing to a Roman guard to protect the tomb. This massive, the body was put in, a massive stone was rolled in front of this cave tomb. And a Roman seal was put on the tomb, over the tomb. And an elite Roman guard was stationed in front of the tomb. And if the body was stolen, and possibly even if one of those guards would have fallen asleep, the sentence that they would have gotten for those things happening was death. Truly, their lives were on the line to protect that body, to protect that tomb. It was impossible for the disciples to get in and take that body with getting past the Roman soldiers and rolling that massive boulder away from the entrance. So, what else do we know about this resurrection appearance and the appearances of Jesus Christ living after he was dead? Did those who claimed to see really believe it? Or was it more like a fairy tale to them? I think, personally, how those first followers, those eyewitnesses of the resurrection, how it impacted them and their response to that, to me, in and of itself, is absolutely convincing of the fact that Jesus Christ is alive. He was seen by over 500 people at one time. It wasn't just one person here and one person there. Over 500 people saw him at one time. It wasn't a figment of the imagination. It wasn't a hallucination. The lives of those who witnessed Jesus alive again experienced a personal resurrection. The reality of his resurrection became alive in them. Those who looked spiritually dead were suddenly full of life. Many of those people who claimed that they saw Jesus alive again, they had to pay the price of their life for making that claim. And they were given the opportunity to recant, to change their story, and they did not. There is no record of one person who claimed to see Jesus alive then saying, "Oh, I was just kidding. Don't kill me." If there was a record of that, that would have gone viral if there was the internet back then. But there was the interconnection of talk, because there were so many in power who wanted Jesus to be dead and gone because he was a threat to them. Peter, that prime example of the one who was full of fear, who denied Jesus, who ran away. Suddenly, this hick became full of courage and boldness. He on the day of what we call Pentecost, he spoke to thousands of people. And he spoke with such power and conviction that they came to believe that Jesus Christ indeed was raised from the dead. Then there was James, the brother of John. And James was one of the brothers that after Jesus told his followers, "I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be killed. I'm going to die. I'm going to give up my life." He said that. And the next thing we hear is that James and John are saying, "Hey, Jesus, could you make sure that when all this goes down that we get the top two spots in your kingdom?" They were so self-focused and absorbed. "It's all about me." That was all about them. That I think that saying was made up for them. They were so self-focused. And yet, after the resurrection, after Jesus died and came back to life, James, you read the Bible book of James, he's so focused on the least of these. He's worried not about his place. He's worried about the place of the poorest and lifting them up. He's not worried about lifting himself up. He's concerned with lifting up others. He was totally changed. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, a letter that John, the John that ran to the tomb to see Jesus, he wrote to believers. He said this: "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard so that you may also have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete." John's focus became the life of Jesus Christ, which he saw and he felt, he touched, he heard. Eyewitness. And being an eyewitness, he gave his life to helping people know that life and live that life. And his greatest joy was when people came from death to that life. So what about now? What proof do we have that he's still alive? We can go back and we can say that we have the evidence of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Historians, legal experts, again and again and again, even many of those who try to prove that Jesus was not raised from the dead, they come back to this conclusion, that there is more evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead than almost any other event in human history. Things that we consider without a doubt that happened, there is much more evidence acceptable in a court of law in the United States for the resurrection of Jesus Christ happening than for those events happening. Jesus said, people will know you are my disciples, my followers, by the way you love each other. God's people have been really, really imperfect over time. It is atrocious what has sometimes been said and done in the name of Jesus Christ. I cannot imagine what goes on in the heart of God when what is done in his name, what is said in his name, happens. However, as imperfect as those who follow Jesus Christ have been and are, there is evidence for transformation. There is evidence that one was like this and now one is like this because of the life of Jesus Christ coming into this person and bringing transformation. It has happened in all places, well, not all places, but all around the world from the beginning that we read about in Acts chapter 2 until this day. Completely different cultures, completely different times, and yet people in those different places, different cultures, different times have consistently, when they say that they have come to life in Jesus Christ as their Savior, they have consistently displayed the same kind of transformation. We think, oh, what's the big deal about that? If we study culture throughout history, that is mind-boggling. It's natural for us to think that people all around the world, people of all time, have always had the same kind of values that we have. To think, for example, that murder is bad. No, there are cultures in which murder has been seen, if it's done in treachery, as a positive value. Good for you. Look what you did. There are cultures in which lying is a value. It is held up in esteem. There are cultures where what we consider possibly in this culture to be right would be wrong. what we consider to be wrong in that culture would be right. So how astounding is it that someone in a place and time where treachery is the highest value and Judas Iscariot would be in that culture the hero of the story? How amazing is it that when those people come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that they display a change of value and a change of the way they speak and the way they act, even if it means they will be punished for that? Because the living Savior lives today. He is with us now. His Holy Spirit moves in believers to make them to be more and more like Him. They're not perfect, but they are changed. That's evidence of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Have you ever used the expression, "Have you seen enough? Have you seen enough?" As I've thought about that saying, that's used in two different ways, right? It's used in the negative, okay? Like someone has encountered a person, or they've encountered an opportunity to buy something, and what they're hearing is not satisfactory for them. And they might just stomp off, "I've seen enough," and stomp away. It can also be used in a positive way. Someone looking for a home, they see this room and that room and the things they really care about, they see, "That's just what I want." And they say, "I've seen enough. I'm ready to buy." Maybe someone is looking at getting a new job and they are interviewed and they're told about the job and they've experienced things and they've seen enough. They're ready to get that job. They're ready to take that job. Here is the question that comes to us about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There were those mourning His loss. It was like when He died, they died. It wasn't only someone that they love who died. Someone who loved them with a love they had never experienced before. It wasn't just their precious, precious loved one that died. It was their hope of life that died. Their life was Him. And He died. And not only that, but they thought that He was going to be the winner, and He seemed like He was the loser. And the word came to them, "The tomb is empty. He's alive." It could be for you and for me that spiritually speaking, we're kind of feeling like, believing like, living like He's in the tomb. The word has come. The evidence is out. He's alive. Have you seen enough? Have you seen enough to just sit there, unmoved? Have you come to the conclusion that you do not believe that Jesus is alive? If you've come to that conclusion, I want to ask you today, get this book, check it out. Nothing wrong with looking at facts, at evidence, and evaluating for yourself. Do you really want to be at that place of stopping the investigation? Because if Jesus did rise up from the dead, that changes everything. Everything. Maybe you find yourself in a place where, yes, I believe that Jesus is raised from the dead, but I, you know, so what does it matter really to me in my life? Well, maybe it's time to go back to the empty tomb. Maybe it's time to give God the opportunity to speak of the importance of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead for you. That it truly does put you in a new place when you live in his life, when it is as if you have been raised up to new life because he has been raised up to new life. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, have you seen enough to run to others with the news, hey, the tomb is empty. Wow. Wow. As crazy, as much nonsense as those first disciples thought those women were full of that came running into them to tell them about what they had seen. Something in the way that those women expressed themselves, it was their face, it was their voice, something was compelling to those first followers to make them get up and go to see. They wanted to see if Jesus was alive because these women had come running to them. Is it compelling enough to you to go running to others that Jesus Christ is alive? And that changes everything for you. He's alive. He's got forgiveness for you. He's got the life that is in your heart to know for you. He's alive. Have you been compelled enough by what you've seen to run to others? When I was about 12 years old, a couple of friends and I rode our bicycles quite a long distance to a lake in Minneapolis. And because we were 12, we were cool. Our parents weren't there. We were cool. And so we had to hang out in a cool place. It's pretty evident that the beach area, the swimming area, is not the cool place. The cool people go outside of the swimming area. So we went outside the swimming area. We were hanging out, being cool. And suddenly, this woman next to us was screaming. Her husband had gone underwater. And she said, run and get help. I don't know how far it was, 300, 400 yards, sprinted, got to the place where the lifeguards who were not on duty were hanging out. And there were, I don't know, about eight of them in there. And some were playing cards, some were standing around. And I'm just crazy. Somebody went underwater, and I'm telling them what happened. And some of the lifeguards looked up from their little game and just thought I was crazy. A couple of them kind of laughed, mocked me. And inside, in that moment, I'm like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? And finally, one of the lifeguards came with me, and we ran and went back to that scene. Obviously, I've never forgotten that. When I got a little older, I'm not saying when I grew up, I'm not sure I've gotten to that point yet, but when I was a little older, I became a lifeguard, and I never forgot what I saw that day, the tragedy and the lifeguard response. And I determined that I just wanted to always be alert and ready, because what could happen? And if someone would come for help, I wanted to help. And lifeguarding is pretty routine. One of the only times I feel like I ever did something of significance in the years I was a lifeguard was a really busy, busy day. We put extra lifeguards on duty. I was in the water, walking up to about my knees, just walking. It was almost all people everywhere. And I'm walking along, and I'm looking, and I look down, and there was a baby about a year old, something like that, laying on the bottom, just clothed in a diaper. And I didn't need lifeguard training to know what to do. Just reached down, picked up the baby, held up the baby to try to find out whose baby it was. And there was mom, and gave it to mom. Do you know what? If you're a believer in Jesus Christ has called you. He has called you to be alert, to be ready. Because there are going to be those moments when you're like a lifeguard. And he will say, now's the time. Go. Pick up this person and bring them to their father. Your father in heaven has so many children that are away from him. And he wants them home. He wants them with him. And we don't even have to be trained. We just have to be alert. We have to have in our heart, I want to be ready in that moment to see what I see and then to bring him, bring her to this moment of interaction with their Father in heaven. Maybe it would be when they went home for good. Maybe it would just be to see, look at him. That's your Father in heaven. That's your Savior. But to be ready. Is it in your heart to run to those who need Jesus? Have you seen enough to run to him? You might be here today. Somebody might have convinced you to come here. You might have come here just out of curiosity. You might have been here numerous times before. Doesn't matter. But the point is this, that we all have to decide if we're going to go to that empty tomb, if we're going to go to the Savior, if we're going to believe that the Savior is alive. So, how about you? Have you received Jesus as your Savior? Have you ever said to him, I believe that you died for me. I believe that you are raised up from the dead. I believe that you have forgiveness and life for me. And I receive you as my Savior. That is like going from our own tomb to the place where we are like Lazarus, where Jesus calls us out of the tomb to life. Has that happened for you? He has life for you. Trust him. Turn to him if you've never done that. You may be a follower of Jesus Christ, and you may be feeling like death, even though you are alive. What a great day it is today to run to him, to run to the risen Savior, to go to that place where his life, his resurrection changes everything. To that place where he can replace fear with faith. Where he can replace worry with security. Where he can bring you to the place of replacing hostility with love and forgiveness. To bring you to the place where that song we sang about can be true. Freedom. I'm not in the grips of that anymore. I'm in the hands of my Savior. I've been set free. He is the one who can take us from that place where we're gloom and doom and living in the dark and see that the light has come into the world, and that light is Jesus Christ, and he's alive. And his light will never be put out. Run to him. Let's stand. Lord Jesus, we thank you for what you've done. It's so difficult, Lord, for us to even begin to try to put into words what you have done for us and how thankful we are. But Lord, hear our hearts as we sing from our hearts to you, Lord. Hear our hearts. Lord, I pray that for any who want that life that only you can give, that you would speak to them now and help them to know that you hear and you are here to bring them life. For all, Lord, who need your touch as their living Savior, would you bring the reality of your resurrection? Would you bridge that gap between reality and fairy tale? Help them to know that you, Savior, are here. We pray in your name. Amen.